right, 2 Samuel, and I think it's chapter 7 is where we'll be. Now, while you're finding that, let me just, again, we've been going over the Bible covenants, and this is just the way God does that. A covenant is agreement between two parties. He made a covenant there in Eden, and then he made a covenant with Adam, Noah, Abraham. We dealt with Moses last week, and tonight we're going to deal with David. Now, this is, all right. How many of y'all ever heard people say, now God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And that is true. He is. He never changes. His attributes never change. He's all-powerful, always will be. All-knowing, he always will be. But here's the key to studying the Bible. God deals differently with his people differently all throughout the Bible. I'll give you for instance. You know, the people that say, well, God's the same yesterday and day forever. That's true, but don't forget, if you've got multiple children, you dealt with them differently. You deal with a 15-year-old differently than you do a 3-year-old. But you're the same parent, yesterday, day, forever, yes. But you deal with your kids differently. He dealt with Adam differently than he did Noah. So what happens is, these covenants is a way to study the Bible. Now, Mosaic covenant. When's the last time y'all walked outside of your house in the backyard and you saw a bush burning and it started talking to you? God's the same yesterday, day, forever. Why don't I need a bush, a burning bush? You know why I don't need a burning bush? Moses didn't have a Bible. The burning bush does speak to me, because every time I open this, it's burning in my soul and speaking to me. It's not out in the front yard or the backyard. It's right here. Moses didn't have that. Moses didn't have a Bible. The only Bible Moses had, we talked about last week, was 10 Commandments. And they were wrote on 2 tablets of stone. God deals differently. And so, all right, so what we're doing, watch. Well, we're going somewhere. Eden, God wanted to covenant. Make an agreement with Adam and Eve. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. They messed it up, sinned, got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Then God made a covenant with Abraham, said, hey, let me say what I said before. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Da 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 da. Well, he tells Noah the same thing. Be fruitful, multiply, Lord, be fruitful, multiply. What are you trying to replenish? Because he's fixing to call out a people. You got to have people for him to call out a nation. So Abraham, of the Abrahamic covenant, he calls out a nation. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Da 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 da. All right. Then the next, now I'm going to give you the law. What you're going to be controlled by, governed by. The law of Moses, Exodus 19, 10 commandments, the tabernacle, all of that kind of stuff. Now, the Davidic covenant is under the Mosaic covenant, because why? David is a Jew, and he's under the law. So, he's under that Mosaic covenant, and so God's fixing to make a covenant with David. And that covenant has to do with a kingdom. It has to do with a king, and it has to do with the throne. Did y'all realize this? John 3:16. Now, don't let this throw you off too bad. But John 3:16 is not the theme of the Bible. Jesus Christ saving you is not the theme of the Bible. That's just a product of it. We think the Bible's just about us. All that's about is it's all about me. That Bible was written, all 66 books was written by a Jew. There ain't a Gentile writer in there. It's all a Jewish book. So that book right there is about a king coming to set up his kingdom. And those Jews are going to get that land that God has promised him. Let's rehearse for a second. let me just give you a little update. That is the promised land. That is the land covenant. That right there is the covenant that God promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12. That is the land from the river Euphrates to the Nile River, right there. Now, Israel is right there. God promised them all of this, but they only possess this. Now, here's another picture of it. There is what God promised Abraham. He said, every bit of that is yours. Now, do they possess that land now? No. Did God lie? No. They will get it. Now, let me bring it into perspective for you. Y'all see all of that? All of that in the green. Every bit of that in the green is the Arab nations, the Palestinians. Okay? Now stay with me. Every bit of that in the green. Arab, Palestinians. Y'all see that just little red dot right there? That's the nation of Israel. I'll bring it in for you. That land, that piece right there is that little red piece right there. And the Arabs and the Palestinians are saying, Israel, you're in our land. That's our land. And the reason it's so important to them is because Jerusalem is there. Now, you say every president, well, I don't say every president, but the research I've done from George H.W. Bush all the way until up till now, every one of them. We got to bring peace to the Middle East. We need a two-state solution. Israel became a state in 1948. Palestine has never been a state. Never will be a state. Never will be a state. God didn't promise the Arabs, Ishmael, anything.
That's right.
He promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're going to get it. Now, let me put it in perspective. We're not even to the Davidic covenant yet, but let me put it in perspective for you. Y'all see that little piece of property right there? That's Jerusalem. That outer wall right there is where the old temple used to sit. That's what they want. That's what they want. And now, every president has tried to Israel. Y'all need to give up some of that to these little green nations. They don't have enough land. Y'all need to give up a little so we can have peace in the Middle East. Can I help you with something? You'll never have peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace comes. It doesn't matter if it's Republican, Democrat, Green Party, a socialist, whatever. It makes no difference. They're not bringing peace to the Middle East. The king of the Prince of Peaces will bring it. Now, let me put that in perspective for you. Here's George H.W. Bush. October the 31st, the Madrid Peace Conference. What's the Madrid Peace Conference? He attempted to divide the land of Israel in exchange for peace with the Palestinians. That was in the green part, right? Okay. That happened in 1991, October the 31st. Same day, 1991, October the 31st, the perfect storm. This perfect storm, hurricanes come from the south and move up to the north. This perfect storm generated from the north and moved down to the south, and you won't believe this. Guess whose house it destroyed? The average hurricane forms at the bottom of the East Coast and works its way up, whereas this storm began in the north, works its way down to Florida. One other little interesting detail is a 2.2 million home was destroyed. It was the home of George H.W. Bush. 30-foot waves towered over his home, washed it away. Well, did he learn his lesson? Well, not really. Because this one happened over there in the Middle East, and they were sitting down at a table with Yasser Arafat, the Palestinian spokesperson. Well, then the Madrid Peace Conference Part 2. That's in 1992 in August. The Madrid Peace Conference not successful, so old man president brought it to the States. Instead of having it over there, brought it over here. Same day, Hurricane Andrew visits Florida. Same day. All right, maybe that hadn't convinced you yet. The Oslo Peace Accord, September 13, 1993, George H. Bush promoted, proudly signing the Oslo Accord, labeled the Land for Peace, according to the accord that demanded Israel award their land to the Palestinian murderers and terrorists in exchange for peace. Y'all get it? 1993, October 31st, Hurricane Emily slammed into the Outer Banks. Isn't that something? All right, here we go. January the 21st, 1998. Benjamin Netanyahu meets with President Clinton at the White House and is coldly received. Clinton and Secretary of State Albright refused to have lunch with him on January 21st, 1998. On January 21st, 1998, same day, Monica Lewinsky scandal erupts. I wouldn't mistreat him. Ain't that something? Well, I know you. There's a ton of them. It'd be another hour before we got rid of all of these. September 27, 1990, Hurricane George hit Alabama. October 19, 1990, flooding Texas. June 16, 2000, forest fires, western U.S. Each time Yasser Arafat was welcomed to the United States, tragedy struck the United States on every one of these dates. You think God is, God promised Israel, you're going to get that land. There's not going to be a two-state peace deal. Now, that's going to play a big part in the tribulation. I don't have time to get in that. All right, roadmap to peace. Young George Bush sends Secretary whoever to Jerusalem to promote his roadmap to peace and continuation of his Oslo Accord from his daddy. June 8th, same day, Tropical Storm Allison hits Texas, Bush's home state. Causes $7 billion in damages, and they have to close the George Bush Airport for 2 days. Maybe you'll love this one. This is where, if you remember, now I remember this one real well, where they were trying to make Israel give up the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip and evacuate. So what they did, they called this the roadmap to peace, obviously. Hurricane Katrina was forming on the exact same day the last settlers were evacuated. August 23rd, same day, Tropical Storm Katrina appears. And y'all know what Katrina did. Now, I can't read the rest of that. Hurricane Katrina hits New Orleans on August the 29th. And that's something. Y'all remember him. May the 19th, 2011. He says, return to the 1967 Middle East borders, which makes Israel give up some of their land. May the 22nd, an EF5 tornado hits Joplin, Missouri. Y'all remember that? 2.8 billion in damages. That's just one instance. I don't have time to give you all of them. I got to get to the Davidic covenant. All right. Y'all ready? You're not ready for this next one. You're not ready for this next one. Now, let me say this. I didn't care much for the old man Bush, but young Bush was okay. Didn't mind him too bad. Just because I'm bringing this out don't mean I'm against them. When they go against the nation of Israel, there's where we part ways. Okay? Don't raise our taxes. Hey, I'm all for you. Lower our taxes. Good. Wonderful. Now, Donald Trump came up with the Abraham Accord, peace to prosperity. And some of this I have to read. This thing debuted January the 1st, 2020. The White House uploaded a PDF detailed whole deal about how this thing's going to be laid out. Under Section 2, the question of territory. Any realistic peace proposal requires the state of Israel to make a significant territorial compromise that will enable the Palestinians to have a viable state, respect their dignity, and address their legitimate national aspirations. The plan was officially rolled out at the end of January 2020. Y'all not ready? In early January 2020, the same time, Trump is getting the Abraham Accord all settled out. Israel, you've got to give, if you want peace, you've got to give up some of that land so we can, you know, settle them folks down. Same time, all this was going on, January 2020, a 35-year-old Washington State resident was in Wuhan, China, visiting family. On January the 15th, he returned to Washington State and developed a severe cough and fever. After 4 days of sickness, he saw a health alert from the CDC, and given his symptoms and recent travel, he decided to see a health care physician. A few days after entering an urgent care clinic, In Washington State, America's first patient was confirmed. This is on the CDC website, folks. I didn't make this up. CDC website verified a patient was identified with confirmed COVID-19 in Washington State on January the 22nd, 2020. I didn't think he was ready. Don't mess with Israel.
That's right.
No matter who you are. Now, hallelujah. I just wanted to put it out there so you'd know. Now let's get to the Davidic covenant before we go home. If that's not enough to chew on for the rest of the night. God says, Israel, I'm going to give you that land. If he said it, he meant it. He ain't planning on giving it to Ishmael. You say, who are the Palestinians? They're Ishmaelites. They're not getting none of it. It don't belong to them. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And let's look right here real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And look at verse 4. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I didn't put this on the screen because it's too much to get up there. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, "Go, tell my servant David." Now Nathan is David's son. "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle." You remember that? God dwelt with his people through the tabernacle. So he tells Nathan, David's son, he says, "I want y'all to build me a house that I can dwell in." Watch. Now, this is what's important, because God's fixing to enter a covenant with King David that this house is going to be built right here in Jerusalem. This is where it come from. That's how it got there. Now, verse 8. "Now therefore, so shall say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I with thee, whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel." I'm going to appoint a place for my people Israel of their own. "And move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time." You know, right now, the children of wickedness, Ishmael's kids, are tormenting right there. God says, "There's David. I'm going to enter into a covenant. There's coming a day when the children of wickedness will not bother you anymore. You'll be in your homeland. You'll have all of that land, not just that area. You'll have all of that and call it your own." Verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy father," in other words, David, when you're dead and gone, and they done put you in the ground with your fathers, "I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowel." Obvious, yes. "Come from your loins, from your bowel. "And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with a rod of men and with stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom, shall be established for how long? Forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established for how long? According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David." This kingdom has to deal with a house, a kingdom, and a throne. And a king that's got a son. That a king's got a son. And this king is a shepherd boy. The Lord is my, something like that. Isn't that something? Now, the sign, remember, there always has to be a sign for the covenant, all right? So Noah, sign of the covenant, was a rainbow. Abraham, sign of the covenant, circumcision. Moses, the sign of a covenant, forgot what it was. Can't remember, I'll think of it in a minute. David, the sign of your covenant is going to be a son. A son's coming. There's going to be a child born that's going to, man, I'm telling you. Well, look at this verse. "And behold, thou shalt conceive," talking to Mary, "in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Okay? "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God, Jehovah, shall give unto him the throne of his father," who? Remember, the covenant says it's about a king, and this king is a son the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What 2 Samuel 7 say? His kingdom be no end. The throne shall be no forever. You say the sign of the covenant, sign of the covenant. Well, here it is. And this shall be a sign unto you. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Wonder who that was. Isn't that something? It's about a king and a kingdom. Now watch this verse, Matthew 5. I think it's Matthew 5. Yeah. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Watch, two different thrones. God's throne is where? Heaven. Nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of who? The great king. It's about the sign of the covenant is the son. It's about a kingdom and him coming to rule. Yes, look, I'm glad for God to love the world. Wonderful. But the theme of the whole book is about a king and his kingdom. Y'all remember this verse? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, small k, wise men. I don't know how many were. Some people say three. They get that because it's three gifts. Who knows? Could have been 42. Have no idea. But the wise men came from the east, and they come into the king of the Jews, Herod. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem. That's where that kingdom's going to be. That's where that throne's going to be. And this is what the wise men said. And they're looking at the king of the Jews, small k. Y'all with me? This is funny. Say, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They're asking the king of the Jews. We heard there was a big K king of the Jews, and he was just born. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They didn't bow down to King Herod. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Now, let me show you something about this verse right here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, I don't mention much about all of this. Y'all already know where I stand and where you want to stand. Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I've already been fully persuaded. Can't nobody change my mind. But some of the new versions read this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That ain't the same thing. Only begotten son means that God and Jesus Christ are one. When Jesus was born, he was God. One and only son, guess what? Jesus wasn't his one and only son. You say, well, what other son? You're looking at one. John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Jesus wasn't his one and only son. He was his only begotten son. See the difference? It's a big difference. Now, you use whatever you want to, but give me real Coke, and you can drink zero Coke if you want to. I'll take the red top milk, and you can have the pink top if you want to. Help yourself. You say, how do you know Jesus was God? Here's another 3:16, 1 Timothy 3:16. How odd is that? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest, how? In the flesh. How did he do that? Because Jesus was God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, when you get over to the New Testament, I'll go to Matthew real quick. Matthew, and let me show you this before we go. In Matthew, I think, all right, here is a picture of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Adam, all right, there he is. Okay, here we go. And then you got Noah, there he is. Abraham, there he is. And then you got King David. There's who we're talking about. King David splits off into two. Okay, I'm fixing to show you something. This top one, his son Nathan. We just read about Nathan in 2 Samuel 7, remember? Well, he has another son, and his name is Solomon. Okay? Now, let me show you what I did. Technology is a wonderful thing. So what I did is I took a picture right straight out of my Bible, what I'm looking at right now. Matthew 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. We're fixing to look at the genealogy. Jesus Christ, the son of who? Son of David. Why? He's a king. Who was David? Son of Abraham. Now that doesn't mean, now remember this, when it says the son of, that means that Bryson is my grandson. The son of. He could be my son. You understand? Dalton's my begotten son. But Bryson, the son of, and you could go on down the line. And so that's how Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, the genealogy in Matthew. Abraham begat Isaac. Begat Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Only begotten begat. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Pharisees, so on and so forth, all the way down. You got Boaz down here, Rahab, Ruth, all the way down. All right, here we go. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat who? Okay, so that right there is Matthew's line right there. We get Matthew right there. Now, and then that thing goes all the way down. I'll show you the next page. And I'm not going to read all these, but verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph. Notice what is left out, the word that's left out. And Jacob begat Joseph. Jacob was, it's another Jacob, wasn't a Jacob back here. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Joseph is not Jesus' dad. Real dad. Y'all know what I mean when I say that? Joseph is in the line of Solomon, and this is the kingly line. That's the king line. Now, in Luke, it's different. In Luke, you got the genealogy goes the other way. It goes from down to up. And so verse 31 says, which was the son of Mahalalel, which was the son of Menon, which was the son and which was the son of, who's this? Which was the son of? Now, Matthew says, which David begat Solomon. Luke says, David, the son of, or Nathan, the son of David. And then you go on down, and let's see, I don't think I put it on there. But Mary, came from that line. Does everybody understand? Joseph was in the kingly line. Mary was in this other line. Okay? Remember this. Now, you said Joseph was not his real father. John 3:16 told us that God Almighty begot his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. He was God. Joseph was what you call what? Foster, I guess. Took care of him on this earth, foster. Mary was his real mother. That made Jesus, this line right here made Jesus a Jew. This was his physical line. This line in Luke made Jesus a Jew. Dark skin, or olive skin, dark hair, all of that. Made him a Jew. Now, how is he going to be king and set here? You just said Joseph wasn't his real dad. How is he going to inherit that kingly line? Well, how many of y'all know that if you adopt a child, he gets all the inheritance? And you can't unadopt after you adopt. So Joseph passed on the kingly line. So he's the king of the Jews from here. He's a Jew from here. Both of Matthew 1, the genealogy, Jesus Christ, the son of David. Because that book is about a king and his kingdom. Now, I got a few minutes. Now let me try to explain this to you. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, here was his sermon, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Y'all see that? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this bottom line right here, the only thing I did, I took out this red part. I took out the cross. I took out the rapture. I took all of that out and left it blank right here. So when Jesus was born, get this. This is, I'm telling y'all, get it. Jesus is born. 30 years later. Jesus is baptized by John, Matthew 3. They start preaching after that. He starts preaching. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm here. I'm what 2 Samuel chapter 7 was talking about. I'm the king, the son of David. You say, how do you know that? Well, remember when he came riding in on the donkey? Riding into the donkey. Where'd he ride into the donkey at? Jerusalem. And they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he's preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you want it, Jews, if you want it, I'm here. Rode a donkey in Jerusalem, the kingdom of heaven. Rode into the temple. Rode right into, where'd it go? Rode right into there. Rode right into that gate and said, here we go. They start shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he, come in the name of the Lord. And that's why they're Matthew, the early parts of Matthew, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right, let's see, Jesus. Matthew 4, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What that means is, it's right, it's within reach. It's at hand. Now stay with me. Watch. Don't leave. Don't go to a commercial right here. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. What was he preaching? Gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jews were looking for somebody to deliver them. All right, get the picture. Get salvation out of your mind for a second. Israel wasn't looking for a savior. They were looking for a king. God promised them what? That land under the Abrahamic covenant. Well, the Jews are like, well, we're waiting to get in it. Where's the Messiah at? Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey. He says, here I am. Here I am. They're wanting Jesus to overthrow Caesar and set down as king of the Jews and bring in the kingdom. How did he teach the disciples how to pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's why he taught them to pray that. There's a bunch of Jews looking for a kingdom. Now, if you want to pray that every Sunday, help yourself, but it ain't doing you no good. That's a prayer for Jews looking for a kingdom. I ain't looking for a king. Now, don't swallow your tongue. I'm looking for my Savior. They're looking for a king. See the difference? Now, I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Watch. Behold, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, he does all the miracles to prove he's king. I don't have time to go into all it. He does the miracle. The reason he does the miracles is to prove he's the Messiah. He raises Lazarus from the dead to prove he's the Messiah. He raises Jairus' daughter to prove he's the Messiah. He heals the blind Bartimaeus to prove he's the Messiah. And when it's all said and done, the scribes and the Pharisees, the upper crust Jews, they say, man, this guy's blaspheming. He claims to be God. He was. They said, no, he's blaspheming. Bring him before Pilate. They arrest Jesus. You got the story? You know the story. Fast forward. Arrest Jesus. They done beat him and whooped him and everything else. They brought him and Pilate, watch. Y'all ready? John 19, and it was a preparation of the Passover at about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Pilate said unto the Jews, behold, your king. It's your king. Y'all ready? But they cried out, away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? He's not ours. We're Gentiles. Caesar was a Gentile. I'm a Roman citizen. I'm a Gentile. He ain't my king. The Bible that y'all claim to believe says he's your king. Shall I kill your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. They just closed the door. Now, what happened? Watch. I don't know if you can see this at home. That bottom line was the way it was going to be until when they said that, they said crucify him. Then this thing pushed out. Y'all with me? We pushed this thing out and inserted this. You see? Crucify him. And what we did, we inserted us-ins. Now God's making them wait. Now, let me show you a beautiful picture. How many sermons have y'all ever heard on the prodigal son? 100,000 sermons on the prodigal son. I ain't preaching on the prodigal son. Wonderful, wonderful sermon. Now, you may give you the doctrinal application of the prodigal son. The prodigal son came to his dad, said, "Give me what you owe me. I don't want you to be my dad no more. I'm going to go out into the far country." And the Jews wasted their substance on riotous living. And they have been wasting their substance this whole time on riotous living. I'm starting to feel something. Prodigal story of the prodigal son, the father was on the front porch waiting on the prodigal son to come back home. Let me get to the Pentecostal side. Waiting on the prodigal son to come back home. Lord, I done hit the wrong button. Hallelujah. Glory. I done got excited and hit. There's no telling what all buttons I done hit. Hang on. Where'd the covenants go? Oh, there was the covenants. Okay. It'll be back up in a minute. Now, they're going back home. Waiting on the prodigal son to come back home. Where's home to the prodigal son? Right there. The father steps out on the front porch. Comes out to meet him. Falls on his neck and kisses him. Puts a ring on his finger, a rope. Hallelujah. That's the doctrinal application of the prodigal son. Now you say, when's all this going to take place? Well, I'll tell you. One of these days in Revelation 19, right here, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He had a vesture dipped in blood. His name was called the Word of God. And the armies that followed him on white, the armies which followed him on white horses, the church, the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses. Hallelujah. And the Jews get that piece of ground right here. Matter of fact, I just read the article today. Today, I just read the article, and I should have put it up here for you to see it. It's on End Time Prophecy Reports. I get that every periodically, and it popped up on the screen today. It said they're in preparation for the third Jewish temple to be built right there on that property. When that happens, this is what allows the tribulation, because the Antichrist has to have a place to desecrate, and it'll be right there on that property when they get that other temple built. It'll have a laver, it'll have a brazen altar, it'll have the table of showbread, it'll have the lampstand and all of that. Every bit of that will be laid out in this thing. And Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation is going to go and sit down in that in the Holy of Holies and break the peace treaty with Israel. And then the real King of Kings Revelation 19 will come. And anyway, that's what the Davidic, I know it was scattered, I apologize, but that's what the Davidic covenant is all about. It's about a king and his kingdom, and it's going to take place. When they rejected him, see the similarities? Remember before I rubbed this out, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is right here, is at hand. We have no king but Caesar, da 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 da. Crucify him. That's why we call this the second coming. His first coming was his birth. That's why we call this the second coming. Well, the second coming, before he comes into the king, before he was going to come into the king, he rides a donkey. Well, what does he do here? Rides a white horse. Anyway, maybe that made sense.